Hey, After Buzzers, welcome to the MasterChef After Show. We're breaking down Season 7, Episode 5, 17 Chefs Compete. Plus, we've got a special guest, Lisa Ann Marchese, is going to be in talking to us about her experience of trying to make a pie. Let's do this.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
There we go. Some nice Mexican hat dance. Mexican hat
dance. I don't know
music
how to dance
here.
To this. I'm like trying to figure it out.
Well, everybody, to the MasterChef After Show here on AfterBuzz TV. A little Mexican music here because certainly Mystery Box Challenge today tied into Latin food. All Latin flavors there. Mm-hmm. So we'll be breaking down that episode. As well, as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, we're going to have Lisa Ann Marchese here as a special guest. One of the contestants on the show. We'll talk to her about her experiences thus far in the competition. I'm your host, Frank Moran. You can follow me on Twitter at HappyGoJack. And we have I'll introduce her in just a moment. We have a new panelist joining us for the rest of the season here. But first off, the woman who made these fantastic, and I'm going to hold them onto the camera, these fantastic chocolate, I guess I'm calling them chocolate chip cookies. I'm just going to say chocolate chip
awesomeness.
They're
like chocolate on chocolate on chocolate.
I love it. Everything that I enjoy about a cookie right inside here.
Yay! Brownies meets cookies meets veggie. Hi, I'm Maria Provenzano. You can find me at Maria Provenzano on Twitter, and all of my information will be there except for this recipe because this was a tester. So I was getting feedback from everybody today.
One of the hardest jobs about things. Yeah, it's very, very difficult doing the MasterChef After Show when you have to eat Maria's food. Oh, it's so hard. All right. And lastly, joining us on the panel now, being here for the rest of the season, we've got Wealthy.
Hi, everyone. My name is Wealthy Jenner, and you can follow me on at Wealthy Lynn. It's LINN on Twitter and on Instagram. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, oh, it's going to be awesome. She'll be joining us for the rest of the season. Robin McSweeney is going to be back next week, finally. She's been out and about, busy doing other stuff, but she'll be back on the panel next week. So we'll be four
B
strong.
Stays busy. That is her social media name. B does stay busy. Follow her Instagram.
That's right.
Yes.
Everywhere. No, she's always busy.
She's everywhere.
Now, as I said, we've got a special guest here. We've got one of the contestants on this season of MasterChef. Ladies and gentlemen, big round of applause for Lisa Ann Marchese.
Yay! Hey, welcome. How are you guys?
Good. Right. How are you?
Oh my God! Did you see last night?
Yes.
Oh my God! Are you kidding me?
Oh! You made it through. Mm-hmm.
Well,
you made it through,
Lisa. And let's just start off at the top there. What made you decide that you wanted to compete in MasterChef?
Oh my God! Well, you know what? I come from a big Sicilian family. I spent a lot of time, you know, cooking in the kitchen because that's what we do. A lot of stuff out on my social media pages. And I have an olive oil business. So they're like, you know what? You should really try out for this MasterChef. And I'm like, no, I don't want to do it. No, it's crazy. And like, you know what? You know what? Maybe I will do it. And so I did. I mean, I almost didn't go for the audition, but it was the best thing I almost didn't do.
Wow.
Now, before you were on the show, had you watched the series before?
I have, which scared the crap out of me. Which
right.
Which is why I didn't want to go. But I'm like, all right, you know what? You know, I'm pretty tough. My family, you know what? We do argue a lot. That's part of, you know, our culture.
Right. So Italians, like, that's their fiery, especially Sicilians. Yeah. That's what we do.
Exactly. Yeah. And in the kitchen, no less. I can handle this. I can handle Gordon Ramsay. If I could handle my family in the kitchen, I could certainly handle Gordon Ramsay.
I love that. Well, yeah. What's the audition process like? So you kind of, is it like an open call and you go in and, or how does that work?
Yeah, so they have open calls throughout the entire country in all the major cities. And you go in, you prepare a dish, and then you have a few minutes to kind of present it, like kind of plate it together, and then go through it, break down the food, the dish to the producers that are there. And, you know, they're looking at your dish, they're looking at your personality,
right.
They want to hear your story, they want to make, you got to be interesting, you got to bring something really interesting to the table, and I think I caught their attention with what I brought.
What did you make?
Balls. Big balls.
Meatballs?
No, I have a famous dish called my Balls of Fury. And they're
oh my God, I love you so much right now. You're my new best friend.
Oh my God, they're Italian rice balls.
Yes.
But I put my own special. Yeah.
I know. I was wondering if you do fry them.
Yeah, hell
okay,
yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. And I make them, I have like a special blend of cheeses and it's a little spicy. And I actually named the dish after my ex-husband. so my son, Dominic, My son Dominic's 17. He loves them, but he doesn't realize he's basically eating his father's ball.
Oh my God. And I love that your son's name is Dominic. Do you know how many Dominics I have in my family?
Do you have a few?
Like, yeah. Oh my God. Yes.
Isn't it a great name? It's such a strong family. Like, isn't it a strong name? Like, it's like the strongest name.
Yeah.
Right?
Seriously, and so to like the audience who like we talked to Lisanne a little bit before we started, and we've decided that we're soul sisters because we're both Sicilian, and she likes to drink martinis, and yes, pretty sure we're best friends now. All right, anyway, that is hilarious. So you got on MasterChef by cooking very large balls. That's a great story.
Really big. So visualize really really big balls.
Like is
and I made I made two of them. I made two of them because I'm like you know. You need
That's impressive.
Now, it's a little different. For this season, they did something different where the people that make it through the open call and they go to the final that we want to see present their dish to Gordon and Christina. Usually, it's just individually. You're going up there, you're cooking, and then you let them try it out and they give you the white apron or not. This time, they have you go head to head against somebody, and only one of you is going to get the white apron. So, how much pressure was that just to know that you were competing against one other person for your spot?
Well, you know what? I knew, I was like, it was tough because I'm just like, you know, I'm thinking, you know, I didn't think I was going to have to compete against it. And you want to like know who the person
is. Of course,
and trying to figure it out, you know, and I'm always about like, I have to know everything that's going on before it happens. Like, and so everything was like such a major surprise. I was like, so I needed to know who she is, what it's all about, you know, what's her story. Like, I was just like going, I was driving myself insane. So it was a lot of pressure because then I'm like, shoot, I think she, you know, I mean, I don't know. I think she could beat me. It was a good battle. It wasn't seen, but it was definitely a good battle.
Was it a ball battle?
It wasn't a ball battle. I know. You know what? I need to talk. I got to call Chef Gordon Ramsay. He hasn't tried my balls, and I really needed Chef Ramsay to. I needed to say he ate my balls.
Yeah, that would be amazing. So, what was your what did you compete with? What was the recipe?
It was the dish was scallops. So we had to come up. Yeah, and they kind of did it on the fly and they're like, "All right, your battle is going to be scallops. So you need to like come up and make your, you know, best dish you could possibly make with scallops." So, you're going to love this. My dish was a scallop. I call it my scalloptini.
Ah. Was it in a martini glass?
No, you know, it's not, but I make it with it's a pan-seared scallop.
Okay.
With roasted asparagus in a what I call a martini sauce. So
like a vodka sauce?
Yeah.
I like the way you think.
So you get the white apron though, and now you're one of the contestants competing for MasterChef. That's pretty awesome. One of the 20 home cooks.
That's so cool. Yeah.
So walk us through just what is a typical day like? Because we're fans of the show. We've watched it a long time. But like, say, on a Mystery Box Challenge day, I mean, how early are you getting there? How long does that whole process take? How does the whole day break down when you're doing that?
Wow. Okay, so the days start at like 5 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, wow.
But when you have to be ready, hair and makeup, at 5 o'clock in the morning, I'm up at 3:30. Because it takes a lot. But then, they bring us over to the studio real, real early in the morning. And there's just a lot of, you know, everybody's in hair and makeup and wardrobe and going through the process. And it's, you're like literally running off adrenaline. Like, wow. I crashed by the time I got home because it's just purely an adrenaline rush. And it's like, you know, it's a 14, 15 hour day you're putting in. It's hard work. I mean, we busted our ass. It was cooking. It was preparing. It was getting used to the kitchen, getting used to some of the tools and equipment that's in there. And then it's like, you know, you start that process of, you know, oh God, what is it going to be next? And it's a mystery box and you're like, oh my God. And every single thing, every fear that you thought was going to happen. And you're like, all right, every idea you had going in is completely freaking gone. So just forget, you don't even think you could prepare yourself for it, because once they're like, lights, cameras, action, mystery box challenge, you're like, holy shit! You know, and then afterwards you're like, oh my God, why didn't I do this? Why didn't I do that?
Of course,
you know,
you
know what I mean?
Yeah, well, that was kind of like the pie thing today. You said, like, tell us about your thought process with the pie competition last night's episode.
Completely complicating things, because I'm like, all right, second guessing myself, worst thing you could possibly do. So I'm like, all right, I'm looking around. I got Terry cooking behind me. You know, he's awesome. We call him Shrek, Big T.
Aww.
I mean, he's so sweet.
Melts me.
Love him. Love, yeah. Love, love. And he's from Long Island.
Oh, so you guys were buds.
Right. So it's like, you know, how do you not? You
yeah,
know?
Right.
So it's just like, so anyway, he's behind me making this like ridiculously amazing pie, which you saw last
right.
night. I got Dan, the boatman, next to me, you know, the frat guy who's just like knocking out of the park. I'm trying to ask him for ingredients. It's just a lot of bantering going back and forth. And I'm like, I got to step this up. And so I just was like, you know what? I just need to put my Sicilian family into this. And that's why I pulled the cheese out. I'm like, I need to put cheese. I put cheese on everything. Why not a pie?
And I feel like I could see how mascarpone could work in a pie, but I was wondering when I watched it how it got melted.
Because the pie crust was, I had to bake the pie crust
first.
Oh,
so you did blind bake it, okay.
So, yeah, and then the whole, God, it just turned to...
Okay, so that's what I was wondering. I was like, so then you did the blind baking, you took it out, and then you put the cheese on, and then it melted. Okay.
Right, but I knew I wanted to put all my favorite ingredients in there.
Right.
Like, I love blueberries. I love, you know what it is? I love mint chocolate chip.
Oh, okay.
I love mint chocolate chip ice cream. So I wanted blueberries and mint chocolate and mint and chocolate, dark chocolate. And then I threw the cheese in, which is not good. I'm like, what am I going to, you know, I can't make a meatball out of this. I'm like, what am I going to do? I'm like,
you know. I have a quick question. Gordon Ramsay, Chef Gordon, he had given you advice. You would ask, what do I do? Is that rare that he does that?
I think it's probably rare that somebody asks him what to do. So I think I might have caught him by surprise, like, okay. But you know what? I think he appreciated the fact that I wanted to try so hard to make this pie work. And
yeah.
I think he saw that in me. And I mean, he was like my guardian angel that night. But I listened to him. I wasn't going to get righteous and be like, I know it all, because I don't. You know, I'm going to listen to him. He is the master chef. And when
right.
he says, this is what you should do, he did that because I asked him, you know.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
and he didn't have to do that. So, and he, you know, he cares. He cares a lot more than you think. So.
Aww. Yeah,
well,
yeah,
I was wondering.
Speaking of master chefs, as we kick off the episode, we have last season's winner, Claudia, comes in. And then you have Aaron Sanchez. Both of them kind of, Claudia chooses the ingredients for the Mystery Box Challenge, all Latin themed. And then Claudia and Aaron Sanchez are both cooking while you guys are competing as well. What was that whole experience like?
Oh, that was amazing. Seeing Aaron Sanchez come in, I was like,
yeah.
Like, oh my God. I met him at in New York City once before. And he's just an awesome, awesome, down to earth. Just like, I love his story, his backstory, his humble beginnings, like
mm-hmm.
we come from. You know, he's just true. Like, he's just a real passionate, family, traditional, you know, and holds true to his roots, the Mexican side. So I was freaking thrilled to see him walk in. And I happen to love Mexican food. So I'm like,
I mean,
all
who
right.
doesn't? How yeah. can you not love Mexican
oh my
food,
God.
Right?
And Claudia, I mean, Claudia freaking knocked it out of the park
yeah.
last season. I mean, she really is such a wonderful, spirited person. And, you know, the way she's a home cook, and I mean, she's cooking like on a professional level. It's unbelievable. She's so inspiring. It's unbelievable.
And she has her cookbook out, which is so cool. Do you want to write a cookbook?
Oh, I'm working on it.
Okay.
I really got to get going. I mean, because my family, we're all like, we've got this cookbook that we're going to do is going to be full of drama. Like, every plate is going to have a story.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, I mean,
I've already heard about the big balls there, right there.
I'm hoping the balls are going to be in the cookbook.
Oh, that's like chapter 16. And then there's a whole thing about my ex-husband and why I called him the Balls of Fury.
Oh, wow. Oh, my God, I love that.
I know. Wait till you see the rest of it. Oh, yeah.
Well, you'll have to keep us posted on that for sure.
Oh,
so always the thing with the Mystery Box Challenge is the way they do it is they only pick three of the dishes as they go around. They're chatting with you, as Christina says, ask you about what you're doing. They're tasting. It's
right.
How frustrating it is that those, I mean, you're busting your butt, and only three people ultimately are going to get their food tasted and chosen between the three. So is everybody else going like, come on. I mean, I nailed this. Why aren't they picking my dish?
You know, I wasn't so bummed about that because they do go around and they taste everybody's food. So
okay.
they're only able to show as many dishes as they get to, you know, the show's only an hour. There's, you know, there's 17 of us cooking. So, you know, they did come around and they liked our dishes, but they really pulled out the ones that they felt were the worst and the ones that were the best. So I guess mine fell in the middle, in between. So, you know, me along with everybody else, it's, you know, it's a little frustrating. You want to hear something positive come out. I don't want my apron battle, you know, they said my dish was amazing, you know, and then we won, you know, the wedding challenge with the scallops again. So that mm-hmm. was amazing. But, you know, it would be nice for them to call me out singly and say, this was like great. You know
of
what
course,
I mean? But
yeah.
It doesn't, you know, can't always be winners. So.
Oh. Well, especially if it's a certain style of food that you're not, you know, used to cooking, or if it's not your favorite thing to, you don't maybe quote unquote necessarily specialize in it, where Aaron Sanchez and you competing against, like, you know, an Italian specialty like rice balls, you know, right. maybe his wouldn't be as good as yours, you know what I mean? So I think right. when it's not your quote unquote specialty that you've grown up doing there, it's more of a challenge.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. But you know what? I was excited to see the Mexican come out. I mean, we had cactus. We cooked with cactus. I did like a grilled cactus, and I did a surf and turf. So I made the skirt steak in like a lime cilantro.
Ooh, yum!
Oh my God, it was so good. And then the prawns. You know, I'm not used to cooking them with like the heads on it. I'm like, Jesus Christ, really? Like,
but yeah, those are gnarly too. The spot prawns.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not like one with the head, but
yeah.
you know, I'm like, all right, I could, you know, it is what it is. So I'm just going to make it like I make a scampi.
Yeah.
So that's what I did, you
okay.
know, with the garlic and all that. But it, you know, I thought it came out good, but you know.
So I guess I have one question. Like, everybody that doesn't get chosen to have their dishes brought up and kind of evaluated, are you all just sitting back there while that's happening, just kind of eating your food? Like, I made this, so somebody's got to eat it, right?
Oh, God, I wish. No, we weren't allowed to eat our food. Oh, God, no. Did I want to taste. And then you want to taste everybody else's food. So it's just like, you know, I can't tell you how many people. I'm like, oh, my God, you know, but.
So you can't taste your own food?
No.
Oh.
Mm-mm. But it smells good.
I'm sure.
I mean, you can't taste it like during the process?
Oh, when I'm cooking,
okay.
yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh,
okay.
You have to. I mean, you
right,
shouldn't
right,
taste
right.
the food. I mean, that was one of the things that Chef Aaron Sanchez said to me as he was passing me by. He saw I was cutting up a jalapeno. Mm-hmm. jalapeno. And I love spicy hot food. Like, I love it, like beyond the heat, like way beyond the heat. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, you know what? I don't want to burn their mouth and drive them crazy because it's something that I like. I have to make it to, you know, so it's not overwhelming for them. And so I started to take the seeds out of the pepper. And he commented last night, you know, don't take the seeds out of, you know, don't take the seeds out because that's where all the heat is. So I was like, oh, okay. And I'm like, trying to put it back in the thing.
Well, I did like Aaron's comment there. He said if for him, he wanted to be 50% as good as his grandmother and 50% as good as his mom.
Yeah, I love that.
When
it
came down to cooking, I was like, all right, yeah.
I love that. I think that's similar to like how Italians are too. I mean, I hope one day my meatballs are as great as my grandpa's. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah,
it's just
that,
the touch.
I could have cried when he said that.
Oh,
like,
I did.
Oh my God,
I did.
So connected with
yeah.
him at that moment. I'm like, oh my God.
Yep.
Yeah.
I love that. I think that's how majority of chefs feel. I mean, we like to buy people's love with food, right?
Absolutely, yeah. absolutely. And that, you know what? Growing up Sicilian, and I grew up Italian, Sicilian.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, it's like, look, I'm not gonna if I don't like you, I'm not gonna cook for you.
Well,
right? I'm not. It's simple. Like,
yeah.
But my, you know, but that's, we grew up, everything happened in the kitchen.
Everything.
We always cooked in the kitchen. I mean, first of all, listen, this is something you don't know. Nobody seems to. So I got, my ex-husband proposed to me in the kitchen and I asked him for a divorce in the kitchen. I kid you not. So when I tell
that
you everything goes down in the
yes.
kitchen, everything happens in the kitchen. So there's a lot of, like, it's just, you want to love, you know, like, you love the people you
mm-hmm.
cook for, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you spend a lot of time in the kitchen. You better be doing something you love for people that you love. That's all I have to say about that.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
So,
I know what
yeah.
you mean.
Yeah.
I do.
Oh, anything you want to say?
But no, oh no. I just mean I grew up in the kitchen and
gotcha.
I grew up around the dinner table. I mean, we'd spend hours around the dinner table. And that's how Italians are. I mean, you're together, you're around food.
Exactly. And you know what? Sundays are like, it's not the same anymore. And that's what I'm trying to bring back is Sunday traditions.
Yep, Sunday sauce.
Yeah. I mean, Sundays is the biggest day for me. It's like, I don't care what the hell anybody else is doing. I'm like, Sundays we're sitting down, we're having dinner. and I'm gonna, you know, I'm gonna cook the, it's a pot of sauce or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. I let, you know, I light the candle. I put my Sinatra music on, and I bring it back.
I love it.
I bring it back. I bring it back home, and I'm like, look, I try to teach my son. This is what's important. And yes, no matter what goes on during the week, because my family and I, we'd be, you know, who, there's so much drama that goes on in, you know, in the Italian families, right?
But yeah,
who's not talking to who? Who's screaming at this one? But every Sunday, my family, my uncles, my aunts, my cousins, we all got together at my grandmother's house and ate dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And my grandmother lived with us. You know, we had, you know, you grew up, you know what? You grew up in an Italian family. So did you have two kitchens in your house?
I don't think we had the size to have two kitchens, but we had two fridges.
We converted. No, my mother.
Yeah. My mom has a fridge in the house, and then a fridge in the garage, and then a freezer in the garage. And my grandpa was the same way. Like, it was just like, you can't. So much food.
Lisa, and you had two kitchens in your house?
Well, yeah. So we had an apartment for her. So we converted our two-car garage into an apartment
for her. Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so she lived with us from the time, I think I was like 12, she moved in with us. And so that whole time, but even before that, you know, we'd spend time on Chestnut. She grew, you know, she was living in Bayshore because my family's originally from Brooklyn and Queens.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then my grandfather was involved in many things. And one of the things he was involved in also was building. So my grandmother didn't want to leave her sisters and her brothers and her family because they all lived in one big apartment building in Queens. And so he said, okay, fine. She's like, if you're going to build me a house, you got to build a house for all my sisters. And that's what he did.
Wow.
So I grew up every Sunday going across the street. You know, my sisters lived across the street. So every Sunday. So yeah, I mean, it's amazing. I miss those days.
I wouldn't really change it. Yeah.
So would you say your grandmother is your biggest influence for being a chef, for your cooking?
Absolutely, because every time, you know, every memory I have of my grandmother, it's in the kitchen. You know, it's always in the kitchen, and so I spent a lot of time. We didn't write recipes down.
Right? Yeah.
She did.
Yep.
It's a little this, a little that, and it's always just watching. So, so I spent my time just watching her, you know, cook. And my mother wasn't really a good cook, so she inspired me. So I could cook for myself, so I didn't have to eat her food.
Oh, that's so funny! Wow,
she'll kill me for that. But I don't. I've already talked about that on national television before, so it's fine.
That is so funny.
Now, what about your son? Is he following in your footsteps, or you have to kind of drag him to do anything in the kitchen?
I have to drag him to do things. Well, he'll taste.
Yeah, of course. Everybody eats. Yeah, you'll taste. That's the easy part.
But he's 17 years old, and it's amazing when he comes into the kitchen is when I'm usually cooking with, like, Hennessy, white wine, red wine. All of a sudden, my son's in the kitchen. I'm like, really? Like, get a little away from the bottles over there. You know what I mean? He's like, Ma, I think you need a little more of this, a little more of that. I said, no, get away. Get away. You know, but he's my taster. He does love being in the kitchen with me. He sits at the island, and that's our time together. That's our bonding time.
You got to do really, it. Yep. That's how you spend the time together. I love that.
And he's my biggest critic. He'll tell me when something sucks. Like, he'll be like, Mom, this is just bad, like really bad.
But don't you want to know? I mean, wouldn't you want to know?
Yeah. I'm totally fine with that. I'm like, all right. You know, I'm a typical tell your mom, oh, okay, let me get you something else, honey. Let me take a roast beef out and make the whole goddamn roast for you today. You know, it's just gonna me, you know, it's just crazy.
So going back to the episode, Tenoria ends up winning the Mystery Box Challenge, and she gets the choice of choosing between three different types of desserts. Which I thought was interesting. She gets to do either pies, puddings, or puffs. Now, did you know what she had to choose from, or you didn't find out what the other two options were? You only knew that it was pies when she came out.
We didn't know anything. We didn't even know it was dessert. And then when they tell us it's dessert, and then she tells us it's a pie, I'm like, holy crap. I was like, oh God. And then all of a sudden the mind starts going. I'm like, here we go. I had a recipe in mind, but I'm like, oh, and I'm worried about the dough. I really was only worried about the crust. I wasn't so much worried about what was going inside of it.
Yeah.
But no, we didn't know. That's real. I mean, that's all reality of reality.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, so when you're watching this episode back and you see that she also had pudding and puffs to choose from, knowing that all three are in the mix, if you had your pick, which would you have gone with?
I probably would have went with the puffs.
Really?
I probably would have said, make them do the puffs. because they're not that easy to make. I mean, pies are like, everybody seems to make pies nowadays. Like, it's like a staple in the you know, when you're baking. So I'm like, I would try to do something that's a little different, like the patatous. Like, that would have just, like, I remember walking in there, I'm like, look, we didn't really have cream puffs. We had cannolis. Right. I'm like, what the hell is a patatous? I'm like, I never even heard. I had to look this. I'm like, what the hell? And the cream puff. I'm like, oh, all right, because that's what I grew up. We didn't call them patatous.
Profiteroles. So,
right.
Yeah, we call them profiteroles.
And we had sphingi and zeppelis. You know, this is the kind of stuff. I'm like, what the frick is a patatous? But I spent time in the kitchen. They did give us time during downtime to, you know, just practice time in the kitchen if we wanted to. And I spent my time making these patatous. And I came home and I was like all excited that I wanted to show my son this new thing that I made.
They let you spend a lot of time in the kitchen, like, practicing things?
Not too much, okay. But they did give us time to get in there. Not in that kitchen, but in the test kitchen.
Okay.
Just to kinda, yeah. I mean, you had to go in and just kind of show them. I mean, the part of the audition process being out there was, you know, showing them again your cooking skills while you're out there.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Because you can't go out there and, like, completely, like, you know.
How would you have felt about, how would you have felt about the pudding?
You know what? I don't know what I would have done with the pudding.
Yeah.
Honest to God, I really don't. The only thing I know how to make is rice pudding, and it would take him too long.
Like, right, exactly,
You know what I'm saying? So that's probably, like, the only pudding, like, I grew up making without using a box. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I'm like, all right. So thank God it wasn't that.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, well, then again, I made my blueberry pie, and and, you know, I'll never, ever use mascarpone cheese in it ever again. And Gordon Ramsay did tell me, Chef Ramsay did say, you know what? I like the idea. Take the cheese and put it on the outside. Like, put it on top of it. Serve it with it on top. Because it's not a bad combination. Just, you don't want to put it in the pie.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right. So that's what I did.
And so sorry.
Go.
They said, you said that you don't know anything before you go in and you cook, but do they hint to you at all, like, the day before? Because I'm wondering, Dan, he had said he'd never cooked a pie, and he actually came out pretty high up in the competition. Like, how does that even happen? I would totally bomb that if I've never made a pie.
Well, no, they do not tell you ahead of time or anything like that. But they, you know, look, they say to you, here is a list of, you know, different foods that you're going to be expected to know how to cook. So don't step foot in this kitchen, in the MasterChef kitchen, or even audition for the show if you don't know how to cook lamb chops, seafood, baking, you know, all the stuff. So they, like, you better know how to do this before you come in. So we all had to know it, but you know what your strengths are and what your weaknesses are, and that's what you got to practice those weaknesses. And obviously, baking was one of mine.
Do you bake much then on, like, even the Italian desserts?
I don't.
Okay.
I really don't. I mean, I think it's partially because I have, my biggest problem is patience.
Yeah.
Oh, so I have zero patience. Zero. So I'm like, you know, I don't have time to, and, like, measuring out things precisely. Really? Really? Like, I don't want to do that. I want to do it, but it's such a science, and I'm just not good at that. But I'll do it because I do certain things, but I'd like to get more creative in the baking. I'm just like, I don't know. It's just...
Yeah, it's a science, for sure.
It's a science,
yeah.
And I'd mention the hardest thing about when you're struggling with patience in the kitchen is all of a sudden they put a time limit on you.
Well, of course,
and
yeah.
Say, then that makes it even harder to try to practice any sort of patience.
Oh, yeah, that clock... You just want to throw something at that clock. I swear to God, you look at that clock and you're like, did that time just jump? Like, did that just, like, jump 5 minutes? Like, I swear to God, it's like the time flies. You think, you start with 75 minutes and you're like, oh, I got plenty of time for this. And I don't know what happens, but something happens and it's just like, you don't realize just how quickly it goes and how fast things are moving. And then it's like, you got 3 minutes left on the clock and you're like, oh my God, you know, and you're like, you don't even know if the thing's set yet. And I'm like, oh, and you know, that's all real. I mean, we're getting nuts towards the end because you really think you got more time than you do, but you don't. It's crazy.
One thing that seemed to take a little bit of time is when Tenoria wins, they tell her that her third advantage is that she's going to get to save three of the home cooks. After everybody's gone through the 75 minutes and cooked, she can go down and evaluate and save three. Mm-hmm. That seemed to take forever. How long did that really take with her kind of pacing back and forth and just kind of throwing a lot of attitude at some people?
Well, that took a while. I mean, she went through each and every one of us. She went past us. And she could see from the way we were cooking, like, who she was going to give that spoon to. And she knew who she should have. And I think, well, I'll take it as a compliment because she didn't want to give it to somebody who she felt was a threat.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So, or who she felt was a threat. Like, she wasn't going to give it to me. So I took it as a compliment. But at the same time, I'm like, I just want the wooden spoon. I have so many wooden spoons in my house. Like, I freaking live and die with a spoon. I mean, you always see me with a wooden spoon. I'm like, I just want the wooden spoon. On it. I'm like, the hell with the rest of this. I'm like, I think my pie's good. I just want the damn spoon.
You can make your own wooden spoon, I guarantee. So you just get a wood, like the wood burners. You can get one at Michael's and burn your own M into a wooden spoon.
I know, but it's not the same. Yeah. It's not the same. Like, it didn't come from Gordon Ramsay.
Right. Okay, that's fair. That part's fair.
One of the things I told them, I had conversations with Chef Ramsay on numerous times. And one of the things I said to him, he's like, you know, I told him about the wooden spoon, growing up with the wooden spoon, because most of the time it was, you know, on my ass. It wasn't touching my food. Like, I was always in trouble. So it was like,
I don't believe that for a second.
Believe me.
Now, one thing I noticed is talking to two chefs here is as they're doing all the, as you all cooking the pies, a lot of people are opening up the oven doors. And I always thought that was like a no-no. Like, you just keep that oven door closed until you're ready to finally open it one time at the end when you're going to pull it out. Is that correct?
You're supposed to, but I mean, pies aren't as sensitive as, say, a meringue. You know, you open up the oven with a meringue, you're not smart. But like pies and cookies, I mean, you most of the time, but I think once you get towards the end, you have to open it to really look at it. It's not, you're not getting the same effect looking through an oven. So, but yeah.
That's true. But you know, they do tell us, they're like, you don't want to open up that door because it just lets the heat out and it's going to cause, again, going back to the science of the freaking bacon. What fun is this? I'm like, what fun is it? It sits in the oven down. Now what do I do? You know what I do? I pour myself a glass of wine.
There you go. I'm like, walk away. You know, walk away.
So I'm like, God, like, now what? Now
and
what
then if you smell that it's burning, minutes? Then you're in trouble.
So that's what, you know, that is true not to open up the door. And you should be able to look through with the light on to see what's going on. But, you know, you open it up when you got to turn it around or whatever.
Right.
But they tell you not to open it up.
And I'll give it up for Terry, too. The tin foil that he put up on top of the pie and then put it back in.
He's the only one that did that, right?
Yeah.
I miss that.
Back to the science.
Do you even notice what people are doing around you when you're...
No, not so much because I'm so focused and I get so serious and I'm just like one of those, like, I'm so competitive that I just want to just focus and get my stuff done. And I'm like, I honestly don't care what the hell anybody else is doing until, you know, it starts to get close and I'm looking around. Then, like, Dan was cooking right next to me. So I had no choice but to see that he was really pulling it together. And I was shocked. But afterwards, whenever the hands are up and I turn around, I see, and I've got Terry behind me. I'm like, holy, beep, 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 beep. You know, I mean, there goes the bleepers. I'm like, the hell's been going on back here? You know, so now I kind of wish I did look around because I probably could have gotten away. I would have cheated.
Oh my gosh!
Well, I'm not ashamed.
It's competition.
Tenoria ends up saving Diana, Diamond, and Dave. How do you feel about those choices? Do you feel like, you know, all right, I can see why she picked those people, or were you surprised that she picked those three?
I'm not surprised at all. First of all their names start with a D, so that might have something to do with it. David is obviously very handsome, so, you know, I'm sure that played into Tenoria's, you know, decision with him. I think he also told her, like, he loves her right before the
they actually said that in our chat right now. They said that I think David got it because he was flirting.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he's a charmer. He's a sweetheart, but he's a charmer. And Diana and her are good friends. You know, they've got okay. real close during the show. So that was no surprise. And Diamond is just the sweetest thing in the whole wide world. And honest, she's just amazing. So I'm not surprised. But, you know, I think the rest of us are a little edgy, little, you know, tougher skinned. And maybe we cause more of a threat to her. So,
yeah. You know. And, you know, in the first episode, they made Diamond kind of seem like she wasn't sweet. And then as the season has progressed, you can just see how sweet she really is.
She is. She's just as beautiful inside as she is Aww. Outside. She really, really is. You know, she was a Miss San Diego.
Oh, was she?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I remember that. Yeah. You say that.
So, yeah, she's awesome. Really good people. Really good people.
Was there anybody that you felt like turned it on for the cameras that was kind of maybe annoying or just like over the top? Or was everybody pretty much the same on and off camera?
You know what? Everybody has such strong personalities and different personalities. I can't say one turned it on more than the other. You know, Nathan was Nathan. You know, he was just, you know.
Well, I commented on this
His
in the past times.
Frank.
Like, yes,
the very
jacket,
important question.
The jacket and the bow tie, it just seems like it's too much stuff to be, you want to be comfortable when you're cooking. Why is yeah. he wearing all this stuff?
Tell me about it. I don't know. He just likes to dress. He's like a tuxedo sales guy.
Right,
I don't
yeah,
know.
That's
he's
it,
just,
yeah.
And he's young. You know, I think he's trying to still impress the ladies. You know, I think he's trying for a girlfriend. Somebody's, I mean, look, I don't have a problem with bow ties, but, you know, you gotta, I don't know about cooking in one. I mean, I don't know. I like to cook comfortable and, you know, I like to look good when I cook, but I don't know.
Yeah. You know, Frank, it's funny that you mentioned that because I'm in this last episode, someone says we're in heels while they're running.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I'm like, why are they running in heels? Why are they wearing heels?
Oh, that might have been me. Well, you know what it is? Look, here's the thing. All right, so you're going to know this because you're a woman, so you're going to get this, right? So it's like when you go to get your hair done, your hair doesn't look great unless you have makeup on, right? Like
yeah,
you can't tell how good your hair looks unless you have makeup on until you made up, right?
Yeah.
And the same thing, like the opposite.
Right.
So it's like cooking. So for me, I'm like, I'm not going to feel good about my dishes. Like, I don't think my stuff's going to, I have to be like shower dressed, hair, makeup.
I see.
You know,
it's
even
like
if
a confidence
I don't have to put makeup
thing.
On, it's just okay. the confidence. It's just the Got confidence it. You bring in the attitude. You know, so you bring it yeah. into the kitchen and you feel good.
Right.
And you're going to put out something really good. That's how I
Okay.
Feel.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Sicilian women don't go out of the house without looking, you know, put together.
Or at least without red lipstick.
I mean, something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was like my staple lip. Red.
Now, one contestant that felt really confident about what she had made was Brandy, because even when Tenori came by and said, hey, do you want the spoon? She goes, no, I want the judges to taste this. And it went from such like a feeling of confidence about her dish to when she got it up there, it just made such a turn for the worse. And she used cheese in her pie as well, but it just did not come together.
No, and I'm really surprised. So Brandy's one of my favorites and one of the contestants that I was close with on the show. And, you know, she's from the South. She knows her pies, man. She really, really knows her pies. And I was completely blown away that happened. It really, because she is very confident. She's a really, really good cook. And she's strong. I mean, she knows her stuff and she's, but that one, that surprised me the most. That probably shocked me the most that night.
Yeah, I felt so bad. I watched the show twice, and I was in tears, actually, the first time. And then the second time, I was like, oh, my gosh. Is it that emotional when you're there? Do you feel that, the emotions?
It is.
And, okay.
It is. It really is. I mean, I have a tough skin, so you won't see that from me so much. But with the other contestant, it is. I mean, then you get into the... It's just very emotional because you're just it's building and it's building and it's building. So it's hard because you spend it's so much hard work what we do to make it there, to make it happen, every challenge, you know, and then to have them either say they don't like it or, you know, it just, you mess it up. It's like, it's this constant turmoil. It's just, it's very stressful. So.
And I mean, are you guys in? Are you guys sequestered too? Like, you can't talk to family or friends when you're there as well, or are you able to do that?
No one. Okay. We couldn't talk to anybody, which is not necessarily a bad thing for me. But don't tell anybody, okay? Nobody's listening, right?
No. I feel ya. I could use a break.
Yeah. So we're totally sequestered the entire time we're out there. They take our phones away. There's no computers or anything like that. We get one call a week, and it's monitored by a producer to make sure we're not giving anything away. Because they really want you to focus on the show.
Right.
And it's probably the best thing they could have done, because there are moments where, like, every Sunday or one day during the week, we'd get that 10-minute phone call. And, you know, with the family back home, and there'd be somebody's crying over something that somebody said back at home, or somebody's bitching that they're, you know, how long are you going to be out there for, you know? And then they get all crazy, and the producers don't want that. They want you to be on your game, be the best you can. You know, you're there to work on one of the biggest television cooking competition shows in the country and probably the world at this point. So, you know, you got to have your game on.
Are you getting to hang out? So you finish your long days, you're saying 15-hour days. Do you get to hang out with the other contestants, or pretty much once you're done, you're all kind of going back to your own rooms? You're not really kind of hanging out and doing anything?
We're exhausted. We're completely exhausted. And I think we would go down and have a drink at the bar, and it would last for about 5 minutes. It would be like one drink and we're going to bed. And we were, not only were we sequestered, but we're managed by a team, by the casting team. So we couldn't leave our rooms or go anywhere
without.
So they would let us do that. They were cool enough, because the days we'd put in and you know, whether somebody's going home or somebody's getting yelled at and somebody's just, you know, completely distraught, it's like, you know, we just need to just unwind a bit. And so we would, and talk about a little bit every night, you know, but it wasn't long. I mean, you know, we did spend Super Bowl together, though. That was fun. That was the first time I spent Super Bowl without my family, because every Super Bowl I watch with family and friends, and all of us squeezed into a hotel room, in somebody's room, and Manny is cooking burgers outside. Oh my God, we went to the store and we cooked burgers. He had a hot plate. I mean, we had a full blown bar. We were in Eric's room, and it was all of us were squeezed in watching the game. So it was a lot of fun.
Oh, that's kind of fun to hear, though, that everybody kind of had that camaraderie. There wasn't really much in the way of drama.
And is it like, say, the day you're doing the mystery box, and then, like, for the example, so far in the season, you went and you did the wedding. Do you have a day off in between those days, or is it pretty much back to back to back to back?
Oh, it's back to back to back to back. Oh, there's no days off. No. No. And they say, you know, get a good night's sleep. It's going to be a long one. It's like,
oh my gosh.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And we didn't know. We had no idea. I mean, that challenge was a complete surprise for us. We didn't know where we were going. We just found out we were going to do a wedding the night before. I mean, Jesus Christ, I've never done. I don't know anything about catering. I'm like, I'm the one that's usually at the wedding or in the wedding.
Right, exactly.
You know what I'm saying? I'm like, I've never done anything like this. I mean, I've cooked for like 25 people, like family, but I've never done anything, nothing like that in my entire life. And that was probably one of my favorite episodes, my favorite challenges.
It was fun to watch. And as we talked about last week with Nathan, we were kind of critical at first of his management technique, but he really turned it around, and he owned up to some of his weaknesses. And I thought, you know, he kind of turned it around by the end of it.
I mean, there were hedges between us, so we couldn't see what they were doing. We could just hear all the screaming. It was just Gordon screaming. All we heard is Nathan, you know, and then, oh my God, we're like, what the hell's going on? So we watched it for the first time. We didn't see any of that, you know. Oh my God.
That does have to be the fun part, to be able to go back and see stuff that you did not get to see. Only by hearing it, but now you get to see the full context of it.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And he was a little, you know, a little upset with me that I didn't go over to his team, because he did talk to me about it and said, you know, well, you know, you won the scallops for your apron. So, you know, I really want you to be on my team. You know, would you be on my team? I'm like, I don't know. And I'm like, oh, I know.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and then Terry was the captain. I'm like, oh, hell no. Like, I'm just, I need to go onto the East Coast here. So that's what I did. So
can't blame you there. So now for this, basically everybody for the pies, it ends up coming down with Brittany. Terry wins, of course, where everybody's loving his pie. Mm-hmm. But it comes down to Brittany, Eric, and Brandy are all the ones that are possibilities for elimination.
Right.
And they keep Eric and Brandy, but they say goodbye to Brittany.
Yeah, yeah, that was tough because Brittany's such, she's such a great, great person. She's got some really good skills, and she, you know, she was really confident about that pie. I mean, she, you know, she was confident. She knew how to make it. She's done it 1,000 times, and I don't know what happened. I mean, I don't, you know, that's not, I've never made a rhubarb pie before, so I don't know how difficult it is, but apparently it is pretty difficult. And she was crushed. I mean, she was really there to for the long haul. She really stepped up her game, and I just feel terrible.
Yeah, I mean, it's I think it's it goes to show that, you know, you could be, if you slip up even once, you may be great
right,
at everything,
exactly,
but
yeah.
It just takes one slip up to knock you out of the kitchen.
Tell me about it.
So, Lisa Ann, before we wrap up here, real quickly, I know you say you have an olive oil business.
I do.
Yeah, talk a little bit about that for a sec.
So, I own... I import pure extra virgin olive oil from where else? Italy.
Yeah.
So it's a finishing oil. It's called Bella di Oliva by L.A. Marchese. And it's a private collection. I sell it online at www.belladiolivausa.com. And I will be going over to Italy for the fresh harvest, which is in the fall, and be bringing back the oil. So hopefully you guys will try some
on
my website.
Yes, I would love to. And it's a finishing oil, not an oil to put in your pan and cook with. It's something to finish with.
It's a finishing oil.
A salad or something, too.
Yeah. I mean, I was on Dr. Oz. I was on the Dr. Oz show last year talking about the health benefits of extra virgin olive oil.
It's amazing.
Oh, my God. So, yeah, because I showed him how to put it into cereal. And how to eat it with cereal, because it's a finishing oil, and it's but it's pure. It's 100% pure extra virgin olive oil. So there are health components. There are there are, you know what I mean? So you could take a teaspoon of it a day, or you know, you can as like a vitamin.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they do in Italy. Mm. That's where I learned it. But then the finishing part is another thing that I learned when I was in Italy, where they take a dish, whether you make a steak and you just drizzle a little bit on there, or fresh or fish after it's cooked, but it's not to be kept in any sunlight. It's in a dark bottle. You keep it in a cool, dark place, and it's fresh. And it, the way it tastes is the way it was when I bottled it. Because I go there and I actually go to the harvest and I do the olives. Yeah, because I want to make sure that there's so much fraud in olive oil. I want to make sure this is pure. So.
Wow, well, I'm going to try it with my Cinnamon Toast Crunch then. So,
Lisa,
thank you so much for joining us tonight. It's been a pleasure talking to you. Now, if people want to follow you, where can they find you? They're in the social media world.
Oh, my God. They can find me on Twitter and Facebook at Lisa Ann Marchese. And then there's also L.A. Marchese. So I'm on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. I've got a Pinterest, but really haven't really done much with that. There's just so many things, but those are the main: the Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. So you find me on there under Lisa Ann Marchese or LA Marchese.
Awesome! Thank you so much.
Thanks,
Lisa Ann.
Thank you so much.
Best of luck in the competition.
Thanks, guys.
See you guys.
Thank you.
Ciao.
Ciao. All right, folks. Look at that, Lisa Ann Marchese right here in the house. Thank you so much, and that's going to do it for this episode of MasterChef After Show and After Buzz TV. But Wealthy, if they want to continue the conversation even after the show is over, where can they find you?
It's Wealthy Lynn. That's L-I-N-N. That's how you spell that name right there. And on Twitter or on Instagram, Wealthy Lynn.
Maria?
Yes, you can find me at Maria Provenzana on Twitter, and all my information will be there. And you guys, if you have pie questions, because we had so much fun talking to Lisa Ann, we didn't get too in-depth into the pie questions. So if you have them, please tweet me, and I will answer them for you.
Absolutely. Oh, Gwen, you're talking to an expert right there. She'll steer you correctly. Yes, not like me. I can only eat your food. She can tell you how to make it. Yes, that's it. You can follow me on Twitter at HappyGoJackie. Check me out. Check me out, guys. Check me out. Why not? Just do that. So, folks, like us on Facebook. Give us those 5 stars on iTunes. Follow us there on Twitter. And we'll see you next week with another episode of MasterChef After Show here on AfterBuzz TV. Take care.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.